Inside the Boss Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Shannon with Inside Lacrosse, here with staff writer Ty Sanders, getting ready for the first high school prep podcast of the year. This week we'll be introducing the Under Armour Inside Lacrosse Top 25 preseason rankings for the 2013 season. A lot to talk about, a lot of new blood, some old blood, rankings up and down the Top 25, some good storylines, some good games to get ready for in March. First things first, though, let us take a look at the top 25. We're going to start with number one and make our way down the list. This year, going into the 2013 season, we have the Boys Latin School of Maryland ranked number one. Ty Sanders wrote the piece for our upcoming issue. Ty, want to get your thoughts on Boys Latin this year. I know you talked to Coach Shriver and what they got going on in the program, but give us a little insight into why we have them ranked number one.
Well, first off, wasn't really a difficult decision in putting them number one. Although I will say I can't remember a time where we've put a school on top that didn't finish in the top 25 last year. But you look at the breakdown, and I mean, they're just overflowing with Division I talent. You know, some really established guys from last year, Stanwyck, Heacock, a really strong first midfield line, and Mac Pons, who one of the best defensemen in the country. But I think they have, I think, almost two dozen Division I players, and strong coaching as always, and, you know, really good non-conference schedule. So looking forward to watching the Lakers this year.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things, as Ty mentioned, some talent standouts. You mentioned Colin Heacock, you mentioned Mac Pons, Shaq Stanwyck, our number one junior going into this season, who is already committed to Johns Hopkins. Again, sort of make a core talent, but again, the talent goes up and down that list, especially in the midfield, I would say. It's one place that might be underrated for them with guys like Tal, Bruno, Ben Pridemore, a lot of other Division I talents that will come into play for them this year. Looking at the rest of the top five, number two, Chaminade off of Long Island in New York. Number three, Deerfield, Massachusetts. Number four, Calvert Hall, last year's MIAA championship. And number five, Gonzaga out of D.C. Ty, what do you think about this group of guys?
Well, I think for the most part, they're all, you know, relatively even. Chaminade, I think that a lot of pundits were sort of pointing towards this year as a year where they may knock off St. Anthony's. You know, they bring up, you know, Chaminade, I think most people know that most guys are only on the varsity for 2 years, exceptions being Ryan Lukovic and John Connors, who's now at Navy. Just does not happen very often. That's the way the school's made up in all sports. So they'll get some midfielders, Sean Cerrone, Sam Modafidi, and Carney Mann, who are all top 25 inside lacrosse juniors. They'll come up to varsity and will make an impact, as well as a few other players that are D1 talents, and I think they'll just have a really tough team this season. You know, moving down the list, I know Deerfield gets some strong PGs, as always. Guys like Liam Kennedy, Ahmad Iftikhar, you know, Matt Brophy, all just top-flight players. And then you throw in Calvert Hall, who, you know, they lose a good amount, almost a dozen key players for the Cardinals, but they bring back guys like Stephen Kelly and Garrett Eppel and some younger talents. I think they'll be very tough. And then Gonzaga is a team they'll play in a few weeks. Just a phenomenal program in D.C. And you know, Casey O'Neill doing a really good job there. Has a few seniors. Max Planning is one of them who will lead the show there. So looking forward to watching the Purple Eagles.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was initially, when we were looking to compile our top 25 list this year, I thought Calvert Hall would be ranked lower because of just the tremendous amount of talent that they lost. But looking at what they have coming back, you mentioned Stephen Kelly, Jordan Germerhausen, one of their strong attackmen who's headed to Loyola. Johnny Kelly, midfielder headed to Ohio State. Just a ton of tremendous talent on this group. And then also with Gonzaga, they lost just a couple key pieces from the team that swept the D.C. region last year on their way to a WCAC title in that area. And just a core group of guys coming back for them as well next year. So It's interesting, as you mentioned, those two teams will be playing each other. When is that game?
March 22nd,
I believe. March 22nd, which is a key early matchup for the rankings, which will be interesting to watch.
Yeah. So anybody in the Baltimore area that plans on coming down the Faceoff Classic, make sure to go over to Taos University. There's an event going on there with that aforementioned Gonzaga Calvert Hall game, also Gilman and Georgetown Prep. To Maryland Powers, and then Landon and Penchard out of Philly. A triple header of games over there at TU.
Is that on Friday or Saturday?
It's on Friday.
It's on the Friday.
It's like, 2-4-6 or 4-6-8, just really good games the day before, UVA, Hopkins, and games like that. So should be a good event over there.
Nice. Okay, further on down the list, number 6, Salisbury School out of Connecticut. Number 7, LaSalle College, PA. Number 8, McDonough, Maryland. Number 9, Landon, Maryland. Number 10, Garden City, who was our number one team in the nation last year after winning the Class B title this year. But again, because of some graduation losses, whatnot, they fall down the rankings a little bit, but are still a top program to watch this year. Ty, let's talk about this crew of guys. Well, looking at those teams, what stands out to you?
Well, Salisbury, I mean, they're like Deerfield. They always get some good PGs. But for them, really, it starts with Shane Simpson. I can count on one hand players that are, harder to guard in the country. Just a fantastic Canadian, headed to UNC. Last year, he led the league in points, which is a pretty impressive feat considering he was taking on every, team's top long pole. He was really impressive. And PGs like Sean Donnelly out of Delbarton School, headed to Hobart, and Attackman, who will pair with Simpson. And Don Massimilian, a face-off guy from Texas, headed to Cornell. And they got a big transfer from upstate New York in Nick Weston. Just a fantastic two-way middie, sort of a smaller guy, but is a great athlete. And he'll head to Syracuse. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Knights can do. Moving down the list a little bit, LaSalle, everybody knows about them because they have two top 10 seniors in Top Gun, Matt Rambo, and Sean Coleman. There's a question of, how the Explorers will fare in the early season, considering Coleman, for the second consecutive year, is out with a football injury. So he's nursing that currently, but I'm told that he'll be back anytime between April 1st and April 30th. So that's a good sign for LaSalle. And they have some good seniors besides them, almost double digits going to Division I programs. They had a big summer winning the Bryan Shootout in July. McDonough, fun team to watch this year. They had a lot of good players last year. They're all young, though. A lot of freshmen and sophomores who played significant roles, and that was only a good sign for Coach Hill Gardner over there, getting those guys to experience some growing pains early so they can have big years this year is pretty vital for the Eagles. And then Landon, loaded with Division I talent, looking to see what they can do. I know they've got some seniors that are very good as well. Jack Falk, a top 5 junior going to Virginia. Garden City is a team sort of like Calvert Hall in that they graduated a ton, probably more. I think 3 Under Armour All-Americans and a kid who went off to Deerfield before Notre Dame, Liam Kennedy. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with a lot of pieces gone. Guys like Justin Gutterding and Eddie Blatz, and younger kids like James Sullivan, a face-off guy, will need to really carry that team that's a little bit thinner than they're used to. So that's sort of looking at teams 6-10 in our Under Armour Inside Lacrosse rankings.
Going on further down the list, number 11, we have Avon Old Farms out of Connecticut. Number 12, Culver in Indiana. Interesting that they're becoming sort of a regular in our top 25 at this point. Their development is a unique story. Numbers Smithtown West out of New York, the first Silver Class A team we have ranked in the top 25 this year. 14, perennial favorite, Georgetown Prep out of Maryland. And then number 15, a newcomer, the Hill Academy in Ontario. This year we've decided that based on what they're doing schedule-wise, and how they've kind of done a national schedule, how they have a championship now that they play for a couple of other components that before sort of kept them out of the rankings. This year they are eligible for our power rankings. Ty, let's talk about this crew. It's an interesting crew. It's sort of the biggest multinational group in our top 25 this year. What do you think about when you see this group of teams?
Well, all very talented on paper, certainly. I think each have a few question marks, but at the same time, they return loads of established players from last year. Even on Old Farms, I think if they get both Rocco's healthy, the Rocco twins attack into Yale, then they're in for a big year. Also throwing kids like Connor Kelly going to Maryland, and a great goalie in Nolan Callahan going to Cuse, a sizable junior. They'll compete with teams like Deerfield and Salisbury and Taft in that heralded New England West League, Founders League as well. So they'll be a tough team. Culver, they've got more Canadians than you can shake a stick at. So that offense will be impressive, I'm sure. It'll be nice to see them down here play, their Maryland and Philadelphia and Virginia teams in March. They also stop by the inside lacrosse offices. And then Smithtown West, it's sort of tough to see what we want to do with Suffolk Class A, Smithtown, West Islip, Ward Melville, Northport's an emerging team. Sachem North, such a great league. Smithtown, I felt like had the most on paper, despite losing James Pinnell, who's now doing work at UVA. But they bring up some guys like Ryan Keenan. Who else? They've got Christian Zawadzki, and then a goalie who steps in for a kid now at Towson, Matthew Smith, going to Ohio State, a lefty. Moving along, Georgetown Prep. Like their arch rival Landon, just loaded with talent. Some younger guys, but I think this midfield line will be really impressive. Townsend Brown, Brennan Collins, and younger guy, sophomore Jack Olson. Brennan Collins, people have huge expectations for. I was talking to Kevin Gable the other night, and he loves his junior midi going to Notre Dame. Just a big shooter for them. So they'll be fun to keep an eye on as well. And Hill Academy, glad to get them in there. These rankings are indeed national, so we're cheating a little bit, but they deserve a spot in our top 25 this year based on, as Jeff mentioned, a national schedule and some tough talent there for Coach Brody Merrill.
Yeah, definitely. Making our way further down the list, 16 to 20s, St. Anthony's, New York, comes in at number 16. Janesville DeWitt, number 17. Gilman, Maryland, at 18. Conestoga, PA, at 19. And West Islip at 20. Again, it's interesting when I look at this group of teams, again, what you're talking about was some questions in the 10 to 15 group. I said there's probably more questions with these guys. Yeah. But knowing their reputations, knowing the coaching staffs, knowing what they've done historically, it's hard not to get these guys in there knowing what the competition that they'll be facing and their the lineage that they bring to these teams.
Yeah, you look at these teams, and four out of the five we mentioned won championships last year, and that speaks for itself. No matter who you lose, St. Anthony's I think might have a tough time early, may have a few losses, but as always, they're put in position to win a ton of games and be in the championship. It's almost a de facto type of thing to put St. Anthony's and Chaminade in the Catholic League final. St. Anthony's has gotten better of their rival in the last 3 or 4 years. But then you move along to Jamesville DeWitt. They were one of the top teams in New York and not won a championship. Something they had done the prior 2 years, beating Garden City. But Jordan Evans is one of the better players in the country, and same with Scott Furman, a long pole, both of whom are headed to Syracuse. And then Gilman, they lose a whole lot on defense, two All-Americans in Gordy Kerber and Jake Mathai, but it's Gilman, it's a lacrosse factory. They bring some really talented players through the ranks. Conestoga, I think, I mentioned teams like Calvert Hall and Garden City and teams like that really lose a whole lot. But it's an established program, and they have a really good feeder system. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. They have Robbie Zanino in between the pipes, who's one of the better goalkeepers around. Got to keep an eye out on. I think he'll be a huge part of the Pioneers' success this year.
Definitely. Finishing up our top 25 for the preseason of 2013, we're looking at number 21, Ward Melville, again out of Suffolk A. Number 22, Niskay Una, out of New York. Number 23, the Haverford School in Pennsylvania. Number 24, St. Ignatius Prep out in California. And number 25, the Episcopal Academy in Pennsylvania. It's interesting, again, looking at this group of teams, same sort of pluses and minuses that we see in the groups in the lower half of the rankings. But, Ty, when you look at this group of teams, what are some things that stand out?
Well, I mentioned Ward Melville. I forgot to mention West Islip. These two teams are from Suffolk A. Return a decent amount. I talked to Coach Hoppe from Ward Melville, and he says they return, five or so of their top 13 guys. West Islip, it's not the case. Looking at number 20, they lose just so many players that were huge to that program's success. So it'll be interesting to see those two teams battle. And moving on, this Cuyuna team that West Islip sort of brushed aside, last year in the state playoffs, they've got some really good players on offense. Lucas Maloney, Luke Goldstock, some younger guys like Aiden O'Brien, and the junior Mike DiMario. They'll be a team to look out for in upstate, the Albany area. I think they're always a team to sort of make it to the semifinals or more. And then Haverford is a team to watch. Just because they lost, like West Islip, who I mentioned, lost a lot of players that are important to that team, some All-Americans. And last year, they had some great freshmen play vital roles, and I think it'll be interesting to see what they do as sophomores. That's always, big. And then St. Ignatius Prep looks like the top team out in California. That's more of Jeff's expertise. not the team I follow, but, you can't really ignore the talent they have, at least on paper. I know they had a ton of Division I signees in this November signing period last year. They look like the top team in California, along with another team that may find their way into rankings eventually, Torrey Pines. From down in San Diego area. And then EA, Episcopal Academy, they play in the same league as Haverford and Malvern Prep. But Coach Andy Hayes doing a really good job there in suburban Philadelphia. So they round out the top 25 there.
Definitely. A couple notes on St. Ignatius, as Ty mentioned. I study the West a lot more than he does when it comes to these things. But a couple guys to watch for them. Matt Emery, who's headed to Virginia. We all know that family, Chad Bell, who's also a midfielder headed to Boston University. Their goalie, Cyrus Scott, he's headed to Colgate. He is a guy who's played on their Under Armour West team the last couple of years. St. Ignatius sort of ties up their season playing Chaminade in New York and then playing at Seton Hall Prep at the Big City Classic late in April. Those two games really be important to their continue to kind of where the season finishes up, mm-hmm. But they definitely begin as a top favorite out of this. Ty, are there any teams outside of the top 25 that people should keep an eye on going into this year? I have a couple that I know that I would definitely keep a watch on, but any teams that pop into your mind?
Those are the teams I really watched the most, talked to coaches about, but a few other teams I like, from Northeast, I'd have to go with maybe Taft in Connecticut. They have some very good players, I think three of which are headed to UVA. The Tech, I'm going to go out of Cornell, some other tough players for them. Also, Trinity Pauling in that same league, they have a few players that are some of the better players around. And then going to Long Island, I think Syosset in Nassau County will be good. Same with Massapequa, where those two teams had a absolute battle last year, which I was heading up to go watch, and then I had a train delay, so it was great. I think that one, Massapequa was up by a few goals, and Syosset, came behind from behind and nipped him, paced by goalie Ryan Fite, who's going to Hopkins. I think those two teams will be really tough But other than that, I think those are really the better teams. You always got to watch out for New Jersey. I know people sort of point to us as saying that New Jersey isn't a great lacrosse state. That's not what we're saying. We just haven't seen these teams put together as impressive rosters as they used to and national schedules. But Del Barton, as always, Summit, Chatham, Don Bosco, I think those are the four teams to watch this year. And I'm sure, they'll find their way into the rankings at some point. But those are the teams we're looking at right now and, looking forward to getting going in a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And there's, again, as you mentioned, we'll keep an eye on New Jersey as things going in. Again, once they start playing and we get a sense of what's happening there, it makes it a little easier. And Western-wide, a couple of national teams to watch out as well. Ty Mesh and Torrey Pines in San Diego. It's about the team to beat in that area. You want to look at St. Andrews in Florida.
Yeah, I was going to mention them. They play McDonough and Boers Light a lot of years. And, yeah. If they win even one of those games, they could find their way in here. They always do a really good job assembling talent down there. So they can't be ignored.
No, exactly. Casey Powell is taking more hands-on role in the mm-hmm. development of that program. They have some really good Division I talent coming up again for them as well. A familiar name would be Connor Whipple, I'm going to say, from the Georgetown. A couple of other guys to keep an eye out on there. A team in Colorado, Columbine, is probably the early preseason favorite coming out of that state. There's always a lot of lacrosse to play there, and it's always interesting to see how things shake out. But I know they do a trip to the East Coast to play some of those Hudson Valley schools like Yorktown and John Jay and whatnot. And that's a team to watch. And then keep an eye on what happens in Texas this year, too. There's some good Division I talent down there, and depending on some upsets and whatnot, we could see some of those teams flirt with the regional. And
they play some teams in the East Coast as well. I know I think it's Episcopal Dallas has an East Coast trip planned for March. Highland Park, also a really good team. But Texas is really a state to look out for. You put lacrosse sticks in those football players' hands, and they go far. You look at Brandon Mullins, who's now starting the Syracuse defense, the sophomore. That's an example of a four-star linebacker recruit playing lacrosse and thriving at the next level.
Yeah, and then one team in the Midwest to watch. I mean, there's a lot of the perennial favorites that you'll see in our Midwestern rankings. But Cincinnati
Moeller.
Cincinnati Moeller is going to be a program that I know is the preseason favorite in Ohio this year going into that season, which is interesting to see a team out of Cincinnati. They've always been competitive, but to really come into the preseason.
Yeah,
as
and that's another football powerhouse. Yeah. I forgot to mention, Jeff, really in Ohio, it's always the same schools, but they're all sort of nipping at the top 25 teams. I know Upper Arlington is going to be tough. Dublin, Jerome, those are Western Reserve and the privates. Those are a few teams to look out for. So it's fun watching that that Midwest. I know a lot of them play towards the end of the year, along with Brother Rice and I think Hill Academy and Culver in that tournament. I think the Detroit area in May. So that sort of gives us a better idea of who's elite in the Midwest.
Exactly. So that's a quick look at our top 25. You can read more of our extensive research, all those teams, in the upcoming April issue of Inside Lacrosse. Ty did a yeoman's job talking to and breaking down a lot of these programs with an assist from myself and from Casey Bach, who covers a lot of our upstate New York, Canadian kind of region. He's an expert there. I take care of a lot of the national and Mid-Atlantic, and Ty takes care of also the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast, as well as a national perspective. So a lot of good information over there. Make sure you pick up a copy. A couple things we want to end up with before we head out today. We want to look at the upcoming high school schedule. Now, March is always an important month when it comes to the rankings because that's one of the few times when a lot of these programs can play a national or interstate mm-hmm. schedule. So much of April and May is tied to your league play. These early games are very important in terms of getting a sense of who's matching up with where. Ty, I know you're already circling your calendar for March, but what are some of the matchups that we should keep an eye out for in the upcoming weeks?
There are a few ones. I think it really heats up in mid-March, as always. Look at a game like Lolo Blakefield, Malvern Prep. Gonzaga BL is really a huge game. Yeah, it's a top five game, and I think it'll you know, really say a lot about either team of where they stand in the early goings. That's a game that, you know, I'll be calling with Booker Corrigan for CUDA, the infamous Booker Corrigan. So I'm looking forward to that. And then moving right along, you know, Calvert-Hall-Gonzaga, as we mentioned. Haverford-McDonough is another big one that day. And then on Saturday, Episcopal Academy will play Culver-Military. And then Culver-Military will then play BL on that Tuesday. Not easy. Those are a few games I'm looking at. You know, I love March. Probably my favorite month for high school lacrosse because you have these top 25 teams battling and, you know, makes our job a little bit easier, sort of seeing who's elite.
Definitely. Again, I think you mentioned before, McDonough and Boys Land always make that trip down to St. Andrews, Florida, yep, as well. That's an important, it's a tough situation for those teams because, St. Andrews usually has a game or two in before they play the contest, so there's always an upset special there. I know that has affected the rankings in the past. One game I always like is Gilman at Hereford.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Usually you don't quite see the public-private matchups in Maryland like you used to, but Hereford's really distinguished themselves as the perennial public school powerhouse in the state, and that one has become a really heated March game.
Yeah, I mean that game has come to be because of the NCAA switching back to their you know, traditional format, playing you know, every team in the league. It used to be that you know for 2 years, I believe it was just a two division format, black and red. You play your in division teams twice and your out of division teams once. Once they nixed that, Gilman and Hereford could play. You know, these NCAA teams could play more you know, non-league games, and that's a fun game for bragging rights. I know Hereford also plays Loyola, and I want to say St. Paul's as well, I think earlier on that Friday, March 22nd. But Hereford has been, you know, pumping out talent almost like a private school. Coach can do a really good job over there in the Hereford zone.
Todd, that's a school we didn't talk about, but I want to get your thoughts on as an alumni. St. Paul's, I know they had a rough season last year. Do you see a rebound this year?
I do, you know, and that's without bias. You know, I know Coach Brock very well, and I know he's excited about, you know, what they have going on in Cruzy Land. I think they're like McDonough in that they got some younger guys to play significant roles, you know, early on to maybe have a big year this year. And you know, I think big thing, there's only one way to go, and that's up. You know, you can't go down the NCAA where they were, so I think they'll be good. The NCAA is just so fun to watch. You know, I feel like I'm pumping that up way too much, but that's just a great league to follow. And you know, there'll be, you know, three or four teams who will you know, fight for those last two playoff spots. And St. Paul's and St. Mary's and Severn and Loyola, those will all be teams that will do so. So.
Yeah, just looking at, again, if we're looking at league storylines, I think when we talked about it before, but the New England, Western New England Founders League cabal out there is going to be one of the more competitive in this year. We mentioned all the three schools ranked in the top 25, plus Taft, plus Trinity Pauline, plus yeah, Brunswick School,
yep,
plus the Andovers.
Yeah, you know, Phillips
Exeter, Phillips Andover.
Yeah.
Those schools are going to be, it's going to be extremely competitive. I'm intrigued by the MIA and by the MIA, by the DC region with the WCAC.
ISC as well.
And the ISC down there. And then with Philly, because, again, I don't feel like I know it's going to be hard to predict early. There's going to be a lot of results-based prognostication through this year, as compared to, I feel, last year, where you have one or two teams that look like they're primed because of their senior classes, because of what they were able to do physically to really make runs. This year, it's going to be a lot of questions going to be answered by play.
Yeah, I mean, speaking on Philly, you know, I love watching that area. You know, Philly has really emerged as a hotbed in my mind, I think in everybody's mind. But it's a little different this year. You know, Conestoga and Hereford both lose a lot. Granted, they're not competing for the same title with Hereford being in the Interac. And then LaSalle, you know, as I mentioned, they'll have some, you know, maybe some injuries they'll have to deal with. But by midseason, they will be very tough. You know, they've matched up with kind of soaked the past few years and haven't been able to come out on top. I think with a senior class like they have, I'd be very surprised if they're not, playing in mid-June for a championship at Hershey Stadium.
Yeah, I guess especially when I'm looking at this, sometimes you'll know who those top two or three teams are because they're 22-0, 21-0. I don't know if that's going to be
not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen this year. I think it's going to be a very competitive year for a lot of different reasons, and you're not going to see that kind of. And if you do, it'll be an interesting, surprising story, I want to say. So.
Yeah, and then New England, those teams, they don't compete for a, postseason championship. So really every game is that much more crucial to their national ranking standing. Salisbury and Deerfield play in the end of the year, and that's almost the, you almost lock that down as a championship. But that's not the case. I think, the team that Jeff mentioned, Taft, Brunswick, Avon Old Farms, those are all teams that are really tough. Trinity Pauline as well. I know last year Avon Old Farms won the championship in the Founders League, so I'm sure they're looking to repeat there.
Definitely. Well, everybody, I hope you get out to some high school games in the upcoming weeks. We'll be out there, and you can follow all of our coverage on InsideLacrosse.com. Make sure, especially on Twitter, to follow at ILPreps. com. That's where you find the latest news, notes, and scores from Ty Zanders, Casey Bach, and myself. And again, we'll be out there with all the latest games, including a lot of coverage from the games that will be at our the Inside Lacrosse events, which will be some key matches coming up there. And we'll get into that later as we prepare for those. So for Ty Zanders and myself, Jeff Shannon, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you out there on the fields.
Inside Lacrosse Podcast. We'll be right back.